在线英语听力室 ,tinroom.com, 欢迎您。
I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, when two people click, that means they really understand each other. Well, that metaphorical clicking could be the sound of what researchers call speaker-listener neural coupling.
Studies to date have largely analyzed speech production and comprehension independently within individual brains. But new research at Princeton University examines their relationship in producing successful communication.
We talked with lead authors Lauren Silbert and Greg Stevens. They began the study by recording Silbert as she lay with her head inside an fMRI,a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine, essentially a giant magnet that scans the brain at work. She reminisced about her life.
I spend a good amount of time in the fMRI scanner telling stories, just as if I was talking to a friend trying to communicate something about my life. We then played the recordings back to 11 different listeners while they were also individually in the scanner.After the scan, we have a behavioral assessment of how much they actually did understand. So then we can sort of measure this coupling between a speaker and listener in correlation with how well the communication was.
And Greg, what did you find?
At the end of the experiment, we have a functional scan of Lauren's brain. We have a functional scan of these 11 listener brains. So then we're faced with a task of how do we assess how similar are these brain patterns? How coupled are they? And so the first result was that actually it turns out that there's extensive coupling between the two, which extends well beyond sort of low-level auditory areas, and it goes all the way up into sort of frontal cortex. It involves a lot of the language areas that people have seen. So that was kind of the first finding, which is that there was sort of this extensive coupling between the two processes that you might have thought naively that they would be kind of different, the production side and the comprehension side.
So in plain English, you're basically saying it's a real meeting of the minds.
Basically, we are saying that, actually. And a little bit of context, what we think might be going on is simply that we're all human. We have similar brains. And so that when you comprehend speech, you might use similar machinery, similar algorithms as you do when you produce it, because we're all sort of using the same fundamental machine, the same brain.
What does this tell us about who we are and how we operate?
First, I think it tells us that these two processes that we look at as opposite processes are actually not so opposite. Sort of an extrapolation from the mirror neuron hypothesis, where in order to understand what somebody is saying, you have to also produce what they're saying, which, could tell us a bit about empathy or whatever it is you want to think from that. Another thing that it tells us is that our brains don't exist in isolation. We grow up, we develop in relation to our surroundings, to people around us, and we communicate in relation to other people. We have interactive processes. We don't exist solely in isolation.
What did you find, actually, when you started looking at people speaking two different languages to each other? What did you find when you looked at their brain activity?
And how were they any different from what you saw, your paper relates?
So in the paper, we use one control where we have a Russian speaker and non-Russian speaking listeners. So in that case, there's no understanding that's going on at all. And in that case, we see no coupling between the brains.
Now, do you think you would get the same results, for example, if, you were just using some technical language, you were talking about mirror neurons and this and that, and now if someone maybe wasn't familiar with it, who was just listening to you talk about that, do you think if you were to look at their brain and your brain, you would see different patterns showing that you weren't coupled?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that their brains would start searching for something that I have already moved on to something else, and there would be a difference in processing.
So they can just sort of blame their brain, right? It's
not, yeah.
It's not the lack of understanding.
Yeah, or on my side, I have to bring whoever I'm speaking with into my world in order to make it as successful a communication as possible.
Lauren Silbert and Greg Stevens are researchers at Princeton University in New Jersey. Their study appears in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. With Roseanne Skirbel, I'm Avi Arditi.